from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us." But Jesus said to him, "Who said I should judge or decide between you?" Then Jesus said to them, "Be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much one owns." Then Jesus told this story. There was a rich man who had some land which grew a good crop. He thought to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to keep all my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all the grain and other goods. Then I can say to myself, I have enough good things stored to last for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and enjoy life." But God said to him, "Foolish man, tonight your life will be taken from you. So who will get those things you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be for those who store up things for themselves and are not rich toward God.
About a minute before I walked up here, I got a text from someone. I'll keep their name quiet for now, wanting to know if, the title of my message, let's see, what's it say here? Is the sermon title an indication of how old you'll be in May? Maybe. I appreciated Tom's remarks this morning in regard to giving. I appreciated the Lord's Supper remarks, but that also because, and I'm going to expound on that a little bit this morning. This is not what you think based on the title. But one of the definitions of the word social has to do with the welfare of human beings as members of society. And Jesus is extremely concerned about your welfare in society, which is one of the reasons why he came, of course, and dwelt among us and graced us with his holy word. And one of his main social concerns is your security, not just in the present, but more importantly, in the future. Most of us, when we're in our 20s and 30s, we're not thinking about whether or not we're going to have a secure retirement. Typically at that age, you know, retirement is the farthest thought from our minds. I mean, we're more concerned about paying next month's rent or making car payments. Years ago, I attended a seminar at the Convention Center in Columbus to hear Thomas Stanley speak. He had written a book titled The Millionaire Next Door. And his plan for becoming a millionaire was to first get a job, most important thing. Then when you receive your paycheck, before you pay any bills, before you do anything with it, you pay yourself first. And what he meant was, out of every paycheck you receive, you take 10% and you put it in a savings account or invest it in something, and then you live off the other 90%. And if you start doing that when you're young, you will retire a millionaire. Now, everyone that I know wants a secure future. So many of us have the attitude that we need to earn and save as much as we possibly can so that whatever happens, our future will be secure. But the key to maximizing your social security isn't about how much you save. It's really about your faithfulness in regard to what has been given to you. And I want to look at two parables this morning where Jesus taught that very point. The first one's in the one you just heard in Luke 12, 13 through 21, when a man asked Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. And Jesus used that opportunity. You know, and back in those days, the eldest brother got the majority of the inheritance because the responsibility for caring for the family fell on the oldest brother. So this must have been another brother who was saying, "Hey, I want my share." And so when he said that, Jesus then used that opportunity to teach about the problem of greed. Jesus said in verse 15, "Be careful and guard against all kinds of greed, because life is not measured by how much one owns." And that's the context in which Jesus then tells this parable about a rich man. And the description "rich man" is important to understand in regard to this parable. A rich man had this very good crop one year, and he had so much stored away already, because he was rich, that he didn't have enough space to store any more crops. And he had this abundant crop this one year. So, in his thinking, he decided to tear down his existing barns and construct larger ones so that he could keep it all. And that way he could then live the rest of his life on Easy Street. Now, how many of you would love to be in that position? So the rich man in this parable is thinking about his future, which is good, and making plans to secure a more comfortable future, a more secure future. In this parable, Jesus says to the rich man at this point, "You fool. Tonight your life is going to end, and you're not going to get to enjoy all that you've stored up. In fact, you don't even know what's going to happen to it or who's going to get it." And Jesus concluded the parable with this statement: "This is how it will be for those who lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich towards God." Now again, the key here is that this man was already wealthy, but it wasn't enough. You know, he wanted more. That's how we often think. We never have enough. We never think we have enough right now. We always think we need more. And immediately following this parable, Jesus then taught his disciples not to be anxious about their lives. You know, about what they wear, what they eat, and so forth. He said, you don't need to be so anxious about whether you have enough, because God knows what you need. He knows how much you need. So what does it mean to be, as Jesus said, rich toward God? You know, God owns everything. I mean, he's already rich. Well, Jesus isn't saying, first of all, that you shouldn't save up for your retirement, okay? Just want to make that clear. He's not saying you shouldn't do that. Jesus was saying you focus way too much on yourself and your own comfort, and you don't focus enough on others. If we look in verses 33 and 34 of Luke 12, Jesus elaborates on this. He said, "Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Get for yourselves purses that won't wear out, the treasure in heaven that never runs out, where thieves can't steal, moths can't destroy. Your heart will be where your treasure is, so be careful about what you treasure." So being rich toward God then means, as I understand it, it means being generous toward others, seeking the kingdom first, laying up treasures in heaven. Those are the treasures on which God wants you to focus. Doesn't mean you can't save for retirement, but he wants you to focus on others, on blessing others, and that lays up treasure in heaven for you. Jesus just described basically how to secure your future. And it sounds like the opposite of what we're to do, right? It just kind of sounds, I mean, the way God thinks is, we just don't think the way he does. He pointed that out in Scripture. Now, one of the axioms that Thomas Stanley, in his book, The Millionaire Next Door, got right was the idea of thinking about your future. And that was also the point Jesus was making here. But one of the weaknesses in Stanley's thinking, in my humble opinion, is who you should pay first. Instead of paying yourself first, you should pay God first by helping those in need and contributing to the work of his kingdom, the church, which is actually, when you think about it, that's actually paying yourself first. You're storing up treasures in heaven. And then set aside 10% and then pay your bills. So, in this parable, maximizing your social security involves spiritual treasure. and being rich toward God by thinking of others and trusting in God so that you won't end up like the rich fool. We'd all like to end up rich, but not a fool, right? Now, the second parable that I want to share with you is in Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. And this is the parable of the shrewd or dishonest manager. And this involves another rich man who paid a manager to oversee his possessions. This manager that he had hired, paid to do this, was not managing his possessions very well. In fact, the definition in the Greek is explained as he was squandering the rich man's possessions. And squandering means to spend foolishly or lose through negligence or inaction. So in chapter 16, verse 2 of Luke, the rich man called the manager in to explain what he had done with his possessions and to inform the manager that his services will no longer be needed. And so at that point, of course, the manager began to consider his future. And he knew in verse 3, as it says, that he didn't have the ability to perform manual labor and was too ashamed to beg. And so he called in a couple of debtors who owned his rich man money or goods, and he cut a deal with them to secure his future. 800 gallons of olive oil, and so this manager reduced that debt in half to 400 gallons. Another owed 1,000 bushels of wheat, and the manager reduced it to 800 bushels. And when the rich man found out about it, of course, you know, his first response was he was impressed. He was impressed with the shrewdness of his manager or former manager. He didn't approve of what he did, of course, but he simply admired his forethought. Jesus then said in verse 8 that worldly people, this is an interesting verse, worldly people are more shrewd with their own kind than spiritual people are. And that's, an indictment against our ability to secure our future. Jesus then said in verse 9, I tell you, make friends for yourselves using worldly riches so that when those riches are gone, you will be welcomed into homes that continue forever. In other words, eternal dwellings. So Jesus was kind of making here a similar point to the parable of the rich fool. We need to be wise with our worldly wealth as a means of securing our future. In other words, store up spiritual treasures that can't be taken away from you by using your worldly wealth to help others, making friends of people in the world, helping others. Or as Jesus, like he says, making friends. When you use worldly wealth in godly ways, you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. And that brings you a secure future. So he's telling us, be smart, be shrewd. Earlier in Luke, chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus taught that when you give a luncheon or dinner, you know, don't just invite those who have the ability to return the favor. Instead, invite the poor, invite the crippled and the blind, those who can't pay you back, and you will be repaid at the resurrection. So if you want to maximize your Social Security, like I do, or in other words, secure your future, don't be like the rich fool who didn't plan properly for the future. Instead, be more like the shrewd manager who considered his future and initiated a plan of action to secure it. Now, his plan was fraudulent, so that's not what Jesus is saying here. It's not what he's recommending, but that wasn't the point. The point was he thought about his future, he initiated a plan, and a plan that provided a secure future for himself. Kim and I have attended several Social Security seminars over the last few years because they send us one. They send us an ad about that about every week. You know, these seminars place a great deal of importance on when to file for Social Security. You know, some of you have been through this. As a fact, as I look at you, a lot of you have been through this. And depending on the year you were born, there's a certain age at which you qualify for your full Social Security benefits. And if you file before you reach that age, your monthly Social Security income will be less. And the longer you put off filing for Social Security, the higher your monthly Social Security income will be. But if you wait too long, your total payout may be less based on how long you live. And it even gets more complicated than that. But it's important to make sure you have the information you need to decide what the best plan is for you. And I've shared with you before, the key to the whole thing is knowing when you're going to die. But with God's plan, what God is sharing with us in His Word is it doesn't matter when you die. If you do what God tells you to do, you will secure your future, and it won't matter at what age you die. You'll be secure because Jesus wants you to have a secure future. He's described for you what you should and should not do to secure your future. First of all, you need to initiate a plan for your future. You need to think about it. Initiate a plan. Secondly, start storing up treasures in heaven, not on earth. It's okay to have some treasures on earth. But he says, focus on storing up treasures in heaven. Use your resources to help others, and you, as he said in Luke 14, will be paid back at the resurrection. So if you plan to spend eternity with God, then plan to spend eternity with God. Use your wealth in such a way as to secure a heavenly future for yourself. Because your Heavenly Father is concerned about your future, and He wants you to have a secure one and a very glorious future with Him. But you need to follow His plan in order to make that happen. The old saying is true, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I knew I was going to get that wrong. So it's really simple. It's not a hard concept to understand. It's very simple. Really, it all comes down to, are you willing to do it? So, you know, that as you leave here today, you know, your future can be secure. But it's up to you. It's up to you as to what you do about it, if you follow this plan or whether you decide not to follow this plan. On your communication card are some next steps you can take this morning. Memorizing Luke 16, verse 9, make friends for yourself. Using worldly wealth so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Read Luke 16, 1 through 13. And that is the parable of the shrewd manager. And accept the security challenge. Secure your future by storing up treasures in heaven, by doing good deeds, by helping others who need help, and you will have a secure and glorious future. But if you didn't hear anything else this morning, if you were sleeping, listen to this. A secure future begins with God's plan of salvation. It begins with God's plan of salvation, which includes faith in His Son, confessing that faith, turning from sin, and dying to sin in baptism. You can do everything else right. Everything else right. But if you fail to do that, it won't matter how many treasures you stored up in heaven. You will not be paid back at the resurrection. You will lose everything for eternity. So I encourage you this morning to come and begin that secure future by confessing your faith in Jesus and being baptized into Christ, where He forgives you of your sins and you receive the gift of His Spirit. If we can help you do that this morning, let us know. We're going to sing a song right now. If you want to respond, you can come to the front, you can go to the back, you can see us afterwards. Either way, your future is now. Let's stand and sing.